T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Mully and Hall, live and local, Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
Let everybody know what your job entails, especially the one you obviously you're in now. What's your day-to-day, month-to-month, like what is the main focus of your job?
Yeah, I'd say the main focus, to kind of boil it down, is to assist our general manager and Coach Reed in building and maintaining our roster. A lot of my heavy lifting is done through the draft. So I oversee all of our scouts that live all across the country, make sure the information's coming in. Do we know the player, their background, what they're about? Do they love football? Their intelligence? And then I'm able to get that information and hand it over to our general manager and our head coach that we make really good decisions and try to bring in the best players for our system as possible.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is the voice of Ryan Poles, and he was on the Buffalo Plus YouTube channel a year ago telling you what his job entailed when he was the executive director of player personnel for the Kansas City Chiefs. Why Buffalo Plus?
Maybe because of the New York connection. Yeah. He's from Canandaigua, New York, I believe, small town. His father played at Boston College. He followed him to Boston to play college football there. Matt Ryan's best friend, which is interesting. You wonder how that plays in. But I guess that was the Buffalo connection. Maybe that's New York. I'm not sure. That's the most we've heard from Ryan Poles. I think all we heard from him since he got hired was a little clip that they put on the Twitter feed about, you know, welcome to Chicago, bear down. And now he's busy interviewing coaches. One last night, Jim Caldwell, two today. And the sense is that it's going to probably happen pretty quick unless they add more coaches to that list.
Bear down.
Yeah, that is the lead story of the day, the new Poles position.
There you go.
General manager.
That's the headline. The Bears. I haven't seen the headlines yet, but I imagine that's a back page waiting to happen.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So, you know, we'll learn more. Again, you know, by the weekend, we're hoping that they are up and running with both the head coach and the general manager. They've hired the general manager first. They have him sitting in on the interviews of the final three candidates. Is there going to be a fourth? I know there was a lot of different reporting about Leslie Frazier one way or another. Not sure that he is a finalist or not, but we definitely know that it's Eberflus and Dan Quinn, and he's already talked to Jim Caldwell, two defensive coordinators, one offensive guy in Caldwell. What does that mean for the philosophy of the coach, the philosophy of the general manager?
It's a good question. I don't think we can answer it yet, and I think we spent a lot of time in the last couple of weeks trying to connect the dots and what general manager and what head coach makes the most sense in terms of paired together, who does it favor, and do you need that kind of organizational symmetry? I don't know who that fits now because Ryan Poles does not have any shared association with any of these guys. Mm-hmm. So if you can look at Jim Caldwell, well, that's going to feel a lot like John Fox, Ryan Pace. If you look at Matt Eberflus, well, you're going to have two guys doing the job for the first time, which is Matt Nagy, Ryan Pace, in a way. And then if you have Dan Quinn and Ryan Poles, I could see that making a little more sense because I think that, my own opinion, Dan Quinn, on his second go-around, is going to learn from the mistakes he made in Atlanta that led to his dismissal after he started 0-5. He's been to a Super Bowl. And I know, you know, I don't think we should read too much into it, but he coached Matt Ryan, who is the best friend of Ryan Poles. If there's anything that Dan Quinn, he's going to have a familiarity with Dan Quinn, maybe, that gives him some insight based on his conversation and relationship with Matt Ryan. Maybe other candidates wouldn't have. Possibly that's to Quinn's advantage, maybe not. But I do think Dan Quinn right now would be the guy I would look at as being the surest, safest hire.
I know we're parsing out very tiny tidbits of information when we listen to a guy talk about what his job entails, but he includes that he's looking at players and he wants to know their love of football. Does he love football?
Yeah.
I got to tell you, that is something that fires me up a little bit. I like that idea because it comes into question with different players at different points in their careers. And you really, that's got to be that, you know, you would assume that the guy loves the game and the guy loves to play the game. That's not always the case.
It goes back to what I said earlier about, you know, everybody views sports and views football or whatever sport you love through a specific prism. And Ryan Poles is an offensive lineman. And those guys tend to be very committed, very organized, and very passionate yep. about the sport that they play. And so that was something that stood out just in that little bit of a soundbite that we heard. And also, it does, to me, again, backs up this idea. If you look at these guys, and we don't know as much about Matt Eberflus as we do some of these other candidates
yes.
who have emerged, because he's a first-time head coaching candidate. He's a defensive coordinator. But Dan Quinn is the kind of guy that if you're appealing to the football meatball in whatever fan base you're trying to appeal to, Dan Quinn's your guy that's going to make you want to run through a brick wall at
right.
the end of his, you know, ode to football.
Yeah,
you can see him writing that poem. You could see him connecting with Ryan Poles if Ryan Poles' job description included finding guys who care about the sport as much as he does.
He's a Jersey guy? Is that where?
Quinn?
Yeah.
Yes.
So is there a New York Jersey connection?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Who knows? I, yeah.
I like the Matt Flynn connection.
The Matt Ryan connection is definitely one that
you know think, I love Matt Flynn.
Yeah, I know you love Matt Flynn. Way back in the day, you're a longtime Matt Flynn guy. But
yeah, I think it's really going to be fun to see this. Okay, so let's just say it's Jim Caldwell, and I'm not suggesting it is. I'm just shifting gears. If it's Jim Caldwell, then you view this guy as not making his own decision. You view this guy being led to it by a Bill Polian. If that is the case, I mean, when you just look at what Caldwell has done, he's actually done pretty well for himself. I think even his experience in Detroit is looked at a little bit differently in retrospect than it was even at the time. But I wonder if he ends up being that guy, how that changes the kind of team you're trying to build and the way you're going about it versus Dan Quinn. And we don't know enough about Matt Eberflus.
Jim Caldwell, he won in Detroit, so he's going to be respected based on his work he did with the Lions, and he deserves that. But I just don't know that he represents a kind of fresh start that you were seeking when this process began. I think Jim Caldwell would create, if he's the head coach of the Bears, the questions that are familiar, you mm-hmm. know, cynicism that feels comfortable for Bears fans, because it's like, okay, here we go again. Oh, boy, that's Bill Polian's crony. And, oh, look, they got a first-time general manager who's hiring a veteran coach. Oh, this feels like 2015 all over again. You can eliminate that by hiring somebody else. And, you know, maybe Jim Caldwell fits onto that staff. Maybe he is your assistant head coach / offensive coordinator, or the guy that is the offensive head coach, if you will. And he's the one that much was Vic Fangio's the way that he was the head coach / defense. Jim Caldwell is that guy for the offense, while Dan Quinn or Matt Eberflus is the head coach of the Bears.
Yeah, I think what appeals to me about Jim Caldwell, and again, I'm not suggesting that he's my favorite among this group, but what does appeal to me is that he is 67. He is at a point in his life where you would think he's almost like a transitional figure in Ryan Poehl's career. You get three really good years out of Jim Caldwell, and it leads you into these better years when you eventually hire your own guy, whomever that might be. And I'm not, I don't mean that as a negative, if it sounds that way. I mean that as stable, kind of, you know, trustworthy elderly gentleman who can come in and sort of organize things in his own right and get that, you know, get Justin Fields on track and his career on track. I know that I'm sounding kind of crazy by saying that because everybody wants.
It sounds like you're trying to child protect your house for a toddler, you know, and I right. think child proof your home for so nobody gets hurt and so it's safe and comfortable. And boy, that's the effect that Jim Caldwell would have on your organization. And I get it because he is a stabilizing force.
Right.
And he's always been steady in the boat, and he's always been that guy that's not going to get too high or too low.
Yeah.
And to some degree, you need that in an organization. But I also think, you know, I go back to what we had the question about Sean Payton. If Jim Caldwell is your head coach and the Bears start out 1-5, how long before we start to have the conversation in Chicago about, well, yeah, Sean Payton's available in January? And you wonder if this is interim coach Jim Caldwell and that kind of thing, which I think would be, you know, you wouldn't hear as often or as much or as loud maybe if it's somebody else. And that may be unfair, but I do think that it's going to probably happen in places like Chicago if the head coach is deemed not the right guy and he gets off to a slow start.
And that's fair, but I wonder, you know, could I apply the same ideas to Matt Eberflus? He's like 51, I believe. Dan Quinn, roughly the same age, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So am I looking at, and this is going to sound awful, the adult in the room that you're talking about with child-proofing things while you figure out what you're doing? And
maybe.
I know that sounds like I'm dissing Ryan Poehl's. I honestly don't mean it to. I just mean the idea that, you know, it's George and Ted and Ryan Poehl's, it's putting a ton on Ryan Poehl's.
It's a fair comment.
Get
it's an understandable opinion. I think it's valid. I think, though, you know where your ceiling is if you hire Jim Caldwell. And I think with Eberflus, maybe you don't, and you're more willing to kind of withstand some of those tough early weeks or games or even maybe a season because you feel like he's being hired for the reason. If you hired Matt Eberflus to be paired with Ryan Poehl's, you are committing to possibility. You are really, because you don't know, but you are embracing that potential. And potential can get you fired, and it has. But you also are looking at that as like an investment in the future of possibility. If you hire Dan Quinn, you know a few more things about him, but you like that, and you are trying to revive something that has been lost in Chicago. If you hire Jim Caldwell, you're doing it for the reasons we have tried to describe here. You're trying to stabilize something that has gotten way too unstable for your own good, and you want to try to steady the boat.
Fascinating. All right, we've got the pick six next. I know a lot of people want to check in. We're going to get to all your phone calls. First, we have the pick six. It's Molly and Haw on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station. It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw.
where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Does hiring a general manager on Tuesday mean the Bears will have a head coach in place by the weekend? Is there any reason it would take longer? Can you share it? Do you believe polls will have a final say?
Well, that's the only reason it wouldn't be done by the weekend, right? If he had another candidate or two that he wanted to run by the committee, maybe that would be the only reason. I think that they're moving along pretty quickly here, and I think they've moved along to a point where they have these three candidates, and he's going to be allowed to choose one of the three. I can't imagine that would be the only reason it would take longer. If indeed he's making the final call and he doesn't like the three guys that are left. But I think he will pick one of these three if indeed it is his decision. And I think we will know maybe tomorrow, maybe later tonight, definitely by Friday.
I think they know whether or not he has other candidates who he would like to interview. And my sense is that we would probably know that by now as well, because right, there would be either permission being requested or a leak in the process. So if you are looking at this, they've had conversations about these are the three guys. My sense is it's probably going to come down to these three. If they go deeper to guys they've already interviewed, maybe that lengthens the process. Brian Flores is a former BC college football player as well. Not a teammate of Poles, but certainly the same alma mater. But I don't think he's getting back in the mix. It doesn't seem to appear that way. So this is going to move fast. And if they take the same premise, you don't want other teams to swoop in and hire Dan Quinn, or maybe even hire Matt Eberflus, which is one of those two guys. I don't think anyone's racing to hire Jim Caldwell. But I think if those other two that are being interviewed today, this could happen quickly by the end of the week. If it goes beyond that, I'll be surprised. If it happens tonight, I won't be shocked.
No.
Pick Six out of house call for Roquan Smith.
With Sean Payton presumably sitting out 2022 with 3 years still left on his Saints contract, if you were the Bears, would you consider putting an interim title on, say, Jim Caldwell to hold down the fort for a year before making a run at Payton? If the Bears won't, could you see a team already plotting to make a run at him a year from now? Is he worth it?
I think cynically that is what you think the reality would be, or at least I have posed it that way. Jim Caldwell gets hired and then he gets off to a slow start, and you know, now the Sean Payton watch begins. That may be the way it goes. Maybe Jerry Jones has already got his sights set on what's going to happen. Maybe he already knows. Maybe there's already an agreement in place. Well, you know what? Take the year off. We're going to be here. You can have a soft landing. There will be every team that has a potential head coaching opening following this very closely, and every coach of that team should be a little bit nervous heading into next year if you don't feel secure, because Sean Payton is one of those impact guys who can make a difference. He's one of those $10 million a year coaches who is worth the money. So, yeah, absolutely, whether he spends next year in the booth or on the beach, I think he's going to be on the sidelines back in 2023.
You know, first of all, I hate the idea that you'd hire someone with an interim title. I just don't think – I think, you know, give the guy a two-year deal and then fire him after one if that's what you want to do, if you're worried about the money of it or whatever. Or – give the guy, you know, the normal three-year contract and then tell him after a year, listen, we're going for Sean Payton. Listen, Sean Payton's a great coach, and I'm sure there are going to be teams that are more ambitious than the Chicago Bears. That is the sad reality, but I think we learned it when we started talking about Jim Harbaugh, when we talked about different things that could happen with that Bears job, and they have not come to fruition. So I think that Jerry Jones will indeed stick with his guy for another year, and then he'll turn around, and that will be that. He will be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys within 2 years.
The Pick Six for Roquan Smith.
This portion of the Pick Six is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Chicago Wolves Flex Packs are the most affordable and flexible way to see your first place Chicago Wolves at Allstate Arena. Chicago Wolves Flex Packs include 10 tickets that can be used for any game. And with a Flex Pack, you can save as much as 40% off face value. Call 1-800-THE-WOLVES. If Ryan Poehl's best friend is former Boston College teammate Matt Ryan, and his best experience as an NFL executive came because of Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, can we be sure his ideal quarterback in his first job as general manager is neither a Ryan-styled pocket passer nor an arm-talented magician like Mahomes, but Justin Fields? How certain are we that Poehl believes Fields is the guy, or is that a silly question because there's no way George would have chauffeured him from O'Hare if he didn't?
That's hysterical. I think Justin Fields is his guy, and I think he had to say that, and he did say it, and I hope he believes it. But I don't think that we're going to have a big surprise here, and he doesn't like that type of quarterback. I do hope he drafts a quarterback. I think you should do that every year, and I hope they figure out a way to develop one and get some draft picks from the guy as you move forward. But I honestly think that he wouldn't have been picked up by George at the airport if it hadn't been he hadn't agreed to a couple things, one of which is Justin Fields.
Oh yeah, he's got to learn to love him. I do think he probably said the right things, and maybe he feels that way. I am fascinated and would be definitely interested to see and to hear what his prototype quarterback looks like, feels like, resembles, because is it a pocket passer? Is it a guy who's a dual threat? Mm-hmm. Because we have seen him be around different types, as you said, you know, he at Boston College, his best friend, that was a very different quarterback than the one he is now the boss of. And I think when you look at Justin Fields, he's capable of doing so much. And but it is inconceivable to think that he would take this job, a big job, understanding all that comes with it, if he felt like there were limitations in what Justin Fields was capable of doing. So he's got to be all in, or else you don't get in the car. You don't get in George's Honda Accord, and you don't go back to Hallis Hall.
A pick six to end the half!
What did you make of Aaron Rodgers going on the Pat McAfee show and saying the following?
There were a ton of people tuning in, rooting against us for one reason and one reason only. It's because of, you know, my vaccination status.
Is it really Rodgers' vaccination status or the fact that he lied about it? Is that what he said? Is what he said to McAfee emblematic of why he might have trouble fitting into another team's culture, or does his talent fit anywhere?
It's the NFL. There are people who have done far worse than lie about his vaccination status who are on rosters and helping teams win championships. So I guess you got to be realistic there. But I picked the Packers, and them losing, you know, ruins my pick. But I am so glad that we don't have to hear from Aaron Rodgers all week long this week. I mean, this is bad enough. He's got a weekly platform on the Punters podcast. But thank goodness he's not going to turn the Super Bowl into a week-long misinformation campaign. And, I didn't hear that until this morning, and now I'm tired and dumber for having heard it.
This guy is... I mean, good God. I mean, there's a persecution complex going on. There is this desperate desire for attention. It's exhausting listening to this guy. He is absolutely exhausting, and it is not fun. And I don't think anybody wants to hear from him at any point. You know, make your decision, figure it out. Yeah, we're all interested where you're going to end up. But good God, I mean, could anybody have had a more ridiculous year than he's had from top to bottom? I could care less about his vaccination status. I really could care less. If he wants to lie about it, I that's wrong. I that bothered me. The whole Joe Rogan thing is just weird to me. I just find the guy, he's just gone off the rails.
Pick six. God.
A week later, let's redo the exercise for the NFL's Final Four with a twist. Who are the four most dangerous players remaining on each team, and rank each offensive or defensive player in order of explosiveness or their ability to influence Sunday's outcome?
Oh, God, I mean, listen, you know, it comes down to it's a limited group, okay? So, like, you look at Cincy, they've got great skill position. So, you know, you go with Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, that combination. I think Mixon, could really have an influence on the game. Then you got to head to defense and just go with your best pass rusher. You know, Kansas City's got tons of guys. They're spoiled for choice, right? You know, who's your favorite chief? Who's your favorite weapon? You know, it's the quarterback more than anyone else that makes the thing go, followed by the tight end. They got the wide receiver. They've got all of it. The Rams have Cooper Kupp, who's probably their best player. I would go with the Rams. I think it's – you start looking at their defense. I know Matthew Stafford. I know that he can make different plays. You know, the running back's fumbling, so I'd be careful about that. But it's Aaron Donald, right? Isn't he the most explosive player on the field? And Von Miller, by the way, could also be very explosive. And who did I miss? San Francisco. Deebo Samuel is by far their most explosive player. I think George Kittle can make huge plays and can change the game. But, again, it's like looking at who's the better tight end. You know, are you talking about the best tight end in the entire playoffs? Is it George Kittle? I don't think so. I think you'd have to go with Kelce. So I think that this is a very interesting measuring stick because we should be talking about a player on offense and a player on defense.
Yeah, I felt like when you look at the AFC and the NFC, I looked at them differently because I felt like the wild card, the explosive guy, the one thing, the guy that could change the outcome quickest on the Chiefs is Tyreek Hill. I don't know that there's an answer for him, and that speed is something you can't coach or defend. And then, you know, on likewise with the Bengals, I think Chase is one of those guys that could make this game closer than maybe people expect, and Joe Burrow is going to do what he does. Patrick Mahomes is great, but the quarterbacks, these receivers have explosive qualities that make them different and unique. And then the NFC, I think, is defense. I think you look at, Deebo is great because he's such a wild card out of the backfield and as a wide receiver. But Nick Bosa can change this game any given play, strip sack fumble, pressure that is consistent. We saw what he can do. And then with the Rams, it's easy. Aaron Donald is probably the hardest player to handle in this Final Four. Even harder than it is maybe to defend Tyreek Hill is finding ways to neutralize Aaron Donald. So I think he's their most explosive player.
Can you believe this? Pick six.
How do you feel about Mark Burley somehow keeping his name on the ballot by staying ahead of the 5% margin at 5.8% despite a shameful lack of local support? Why don't people see he dominated the steroid era? Why is he such a long shot? Doesn't he compare with Tom Glavine? What the hell is wrong with people?
Yeah, the comparison to Glavine is interesting. Saw those numbers, which are make you look twice, and certainly Burley gets a chance to stay on the ballot. And I think each year those numbers will go up. I don't know if they'll ever go up to the point where he gets in. I hope he does. He's got 8 more years to kind of make that climb. And I think over time, as I have said, even though I did not vote for him, so I'm part of that shameful lack of local support, that Mark Burley will be respected because starting pitchers will be respected more because of their value in current day baseball is in decline because they're, you know, going 4 to 5 innings, and Mark Burley's consistency and durability will be respected more and his stature will increase. So hopefully that continues to go up and he eventually one day gets in. And then we're talking about, you know, the Mark Burley versus John Lester conversation, because that's one that obviously with Lester in 5 years, we're going to be having that one as well.
Lackey going on the ballot next year, right? I don't know that he's going to get a ton of support or be able to stick around on the ballot for a while, but it'll be fun to monitor. You know, I'm a huge Burley fan. I love to watch Mark Burley pitch, and he did it all. Like he did everything, the perfect game, the no hitters, the guy hit a home run. You know, I love Mark Burley. I don't know that he's a Hall of Famer, but I love having him on the ballot. And I think that his numbers, you know, the bottom line is Burley was not a strikeout guy. So that punishes him. He's punished by baseball for that reason. And yet no one ever controlled the bases better than he did. And great Gold Glove pitcher. I just think there's so much to like about Mark Burley that if he could stay on the ballot, the longer he does, the more people will consider it. And I think we'll see less and less people being able to take the ball and go for as long as he did. And he did it against guys that were jacked up on juice. So that should make it more important. 312-644-4. 67-67. It's Mully and Haw on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
How do you manage your time when teams are seeking permission to talk to you about their vacancies?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I'm not trying to avoid it or to be coy. There's just simply nothing to report on my end. And when job changes happen and coaches let go, it's a difficult time for them, their families, the assistants, the team, you know, everybody that goes into that. So listen, it's nice to hear if someone is interested. You know, that's not lost on me. I had a difficult 2020 season and didn't go so good, so that's not lost on me, but there's really nothing to add on my end, so there's not a lot of time management or anything that has to go into mine other than just kicking ass and being right where my feet are.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That's Dan Quinn. That is the voice of Dan Quinn, and he's talking about how he was going through the playoff. That was during the playoffs. And how do you handle other teams being interested in you while you're preparing for your great playoff run that ended very quickly?
He would win the press conference by 2 touchdowns. You know that based on just that last soundbite there. He would be speaking the language that Bears fans would appreciate, and he could get people excited about next season, the next step, the next phase of whatever it is under Ryan Poles and possibly Dan Quinn. So I guess, you know, it's difficult to handicap these guys because we don't know what questions are being asked. We don't know the connections, but just my own personal feeling is that you could see them. Optics don't matter to the Bears, clearly, but you could see them having an easier time selling Dan Quinn than any of the remaining candidates that we're aware of right now or the finalists for the job.
Should that matter?
Only to the extent that if people are getting excited about the next head coach and it excites the people making the decision as much as it excites potentially the people, yeah, that matters because you want a consensus, you want enthusiasm, you want to have people revived in doing their jobs and going out to win and being committed to a certain cause. You know, is he as qualified as any coach you're talking to that is remaining as finalist? I think the answer is yes. So all things being equal, that may give somebody an advantage or a slight edge if I'm making the decision. Yeah, I think it does. Not necessarily the optics, but the intangibles, the enthusiasm,
right.
The energy that you inject into a franchise is important when you have one as sleepy as the Bears have become.
I got to tell you, I think, you know, I don't know anything about Ryan Poles in terms of how he'll be as a manager of the team, how he'll be as the talent procurer for the team. But I like the hire because I can't help but feel, even if there are similarities, that they have upgraded. I do feel like that this is better than what was here before, and this should be different than what was here before. And that's been one of the things that I've been hoping to see.
Well, we have agreed that the Bears were at the point where change for the sake of change was an improvement and an upgrade.
Yes.
So let's face it, regardless of who they hired as the general manager, experience versus inexperience, a guy with the same initials, and they don't have to change the initials in the park spot, and all those things being true, the fact that it's not Ryan Pace, we were going to feel pretty good about the direction of the Bears just because they accepted the need to make a change at the most important job in the building in terms of charting the future and forming the roster. So they got a guy who couldn't make the roster in 2008, but now he's going to make the final decision on the 53, which I think is funny. But Ryan Poles represents change, so by definition, that is good at Halas Hall because they needed that badly based on the way the last 7 years have gone. When you don't win a playoff game in that time, you need to make a change.
All right, 312-644-6767. That is the telephone number, and we should let you know the Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com.
The BetQL network is available nationwide on the Odyssey mobile app and website, over 10,000 home and auto-connected devices, and BetQLnetwork.com.
Let's start with Rich. He's in Old Town. Hey, Rich.
Good morning, guys. I think you guys are onto something. I really like the pick a lot. I'll start with that. But what I think what it opens up a little bit, I'm sure if they gave him some discretion that he's going to have a conversation before they offer him the job about perhaps other candidates that the three are already slated. And a couple of things I want to throw out. I think you're right about dismissing the Miami guy, because I don't think that would work. But what I do think is Quinn is really liked by Matt Ryan, and Matt Ryan and Poles are tight. So he's going to get that endorsement for taking a hard look at Dan Quinn. But here's what I really like. I'd be great with him being the coach, but I think what opens the door, and I'm really excited about this, is you've got Kafka sitting in Kansas City as a quarterback coach, and they're very, very tight. And I've heard this from several people, that Poles and Kafka work closely together. What better guy to bring up here as a QB coach and potential future OC down the road than dragging Kafka with you with Quinn? I think that would be a great fit.
Okay. Thanks, Rich.
Let me ask you this. If you're Mike Kafka, why would you come to Chicago?
St. Rita High School.
I know. He's from Chicago, but you are coaching Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
You're on a team that is possibly going to win its second Super Bowl in a few weeks, and you're going to come here for a lateral move?
Yeah, then you're not coming here for a lateral.
So then you're going to hire him as the offensive coordinator?
Well, I don't know that he's ready for that.
Well, then that's what I mean. So if he's not ready to be the offensive coordinator and you just want him to be a position coach, why would he leave the comforts of Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes to come to Chicago and coach?
Who knows? I mean, I like the idea because he's a local guy made good. He's a Northwestern product. He's from the South Side. He went to St. Rita's, for God's sake, which, believe it or not, is my old high school. The site of my now defunct Quigley South is turned into St. Rita's. So I'm all for it. I mean, don't get me wrong, but you're right. There is that issue about him and what he wants to do in his career. But would it be a step up? I mean, at some point, maybe you want to get away from that, or maybe he thinks that he can move up and be an offensive coordinator. Maybe he's going to be the next Andy Reid in his mind.
Okay.
I don't know.
If they're going to promote him to offensive coordinator / play caller, passing game coordinator, whatever.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I could see that if they're going, but then I would wonder about how much trust and faith you should have in somebody who's never done the job before.
Let's try Dennis. Dennis is happy. Hey, Dennis.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Great, Dennis.
I am very happy with the hire of the general manager, but please correct me if I'm wrong. I'm going to say it like this. Isn't Dan Quinn the idiot that called the play in the Super Bowl where they passed on the 1 yard line instead of giving it to Marshawn Lynch?
No, well, that was Pete Carroll.
Yeah, he was the idiot that let his coordinator continue to pass when they had a big lead and they could have.
He was the 28-3 idiot. If you want to call him that, that's your words, not mine.
Right. Which idiot was he? Yeah. Thanks very much.
And the idiot who called the play that lost the 28-3 game is the idiot head coach who's considered one of the best NFC, head coaches in the NFL.
NFC Championship this weekend.
Yeah, Kyle Shanahan.
That idiot.
So, okay.
Everyone's a dummy. Everyone's made a mistake.
People learn from mistakes.
Yeah.
I think Dan Quinn probably has learned from his.
Did you see, and this is just an aside, but did you see that Todd Bowles, there was a request put in by the Ravens to interview him for their defensive coordinator position? Isn't that curious?
Well, it's smart because...
I think it's really smart. Yeah. I just think it's curious. They fired Don Wink Martindale, and they've tried to get to Todd Bowles. What does that mean? Does that mean Tom is gone? Does that mean that, you know, if indeed you are Bruce Arians, if Tom leaves, are you done? Is his offensive coordinator going one way and his defensive coordinator going another way? Would that encourage him to leave?
Well, I think it means that it gives Todd Bowles an option for a soft landing if he doesn't get the job in Vegas, if he doesn't get the job in Minnesota, and he's looking to move on and maybe get a hefty raise at an organization that you know, he might be ready to move on to. I'm not sure. But that's, he's a very qualified defensive coordinator, and he would be a very qualified head coach, I think.
All right. We're going to bring in Brad Biggs, the Tribune football man. We'll do that next. We'll get his take on the new GM. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with GameDay, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.